because everybody does. And it can be very scary for some people. And our faith is what brings us through. And so there's kind of a salvation message in it today, but there's also a message of personal ministry for yourself to dedicate yourself to God's purposes. So we're gonna do that today, and we're going to ask God's blessing and His influence to be upon it. So, Lord, I just pray today that as we talk about the afterlife, after this life in general, Lord, it wouldn't be my words, but your words. That it would be your reassurance, not my reassurance. That it would be your truth and not my truth, Lord. Because, Lord, you are truly our Lord and our Savior. And we have a home with you forevermore. May it come clear today to all of us how that manifests in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. I wrote this. Let's face it, sooner or later we're all going to die, so we might as well talk about it. It's not your favorite subject, obviously, but as we move on in age from decade to decade, it becomes more important to us to know a little bit more about where we're headed and where we're going. And so most Christians understand from the Bible that heaven is the destination for believers. Okay? Most Christians, if you ask them, where are you going when you die? Teresa asks this question in the ER all the time. Do you know where you're going when you die? It's a perfect lead-in for evangelistic ministry, because when somebody answers that question, you know right away whether they're a Christian or not a Christian, whether they're a Christian that's scared or not scared, or whether they're a believer that's scared and not a Christian. Okay? All that can be answered by asking that simple question, do you know where you're going when you die? But as believers, we should know that our destination, because the Bible is very clear about that, as believers, that our destination is heaven. And the reason that we live godly lives, the motivation for why we live godly, according to Philippians, you know, we talked about speaking things that are lovely and being honest and true and all of those things that Philippians talks about. The reason we do those things and we're kind to people and other-oriented and we live godly lives is because of the rewards in eternity that will be given to us for what we do here. So the Bible clearly talks about we will be at our destination when we get there, rewarded for what? For what we do here. Now, am I bouncing here, Eric? Is it me or my... Do I? Move it up a little bit. Gosh, she dresses me and... How about that? Good? Better?
Sure.
Yeah, sure, why not? All right. So for believers, heaven's our destination. And it's also a place of rewards when we get there for what we do here. The biblical writers, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, used language familiar to those in the first century in order to effectively illustrate this biblical truth. Okay? So in the first century, the writers wrote about our destination and about our rewards based on the language and the atmosphere that was going on right in the first century. That's when they lived. So they wrote that way. And so that's how we're going to do that today, okay? They talked about the Bema. The Bema, or judgment. It means judgment seat in the first century Athens, Greece. And in first century Athens, Greece, this was a raised platform used in the Olympics to give out rewards to those who ran their races and won. So there was a Bema seat, a judgment seat that judged who won, and the ones that won, they would hand out rewards. And they did this in Athens, Greece all the time. The Bible says that at the Bema seat, the judgment seat of Christ in heaven, we will be rewarded for how faithful we've been running the race of life as Christians. So you see that? The Bible used a metaphor, first century Greece, saying that when you're running in the Olympics, the race, at the end of that race, based on how you've done, you will be rewarded. Jesus turns around and says, how you live your life as a Christian in this life, when you reach your destination in heaven, at that Bema judgment seat, that's not a judgment to go to hell or to go to heaven. You're already in heaven as a believer. It's a judgment of what you will be rewarded with, just like the Olympics, for how you've run your race. And everybody has one. You've all got gifts. And whether you're using them or not using them and how you're using them, that's all going to be part of when you face the Lord, of how we will be rewarded. How do I know this? 2 Corinthians 5:10. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each one may be recompensed, rewarded, for his deeds in the body while we're here, according to what he has done, whether it's good or whether it's bad, whether you ran the race and you won it, or you came in second, third, fourth, fifth, or sixth, okay? There'll be rewards apportioned according to how you've lived your life. Romans 14:10. But you, why do you judge your brother? Or you again, why do you regard your brother with contempt? For we will all stand before that judgment seat of God. Matthew 16:27. For the Son of Man is going to come in the glory of his Father with his angels. A little bit different than he came the first time, born in a manger, dying on a cross, right? He's going to come in glory of his Father with his angels. And we will then repay every man what? According to his deeds, what we have done as Christians. Romans 8:1. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in what? Christ Jesus. What does that say? That the rewards we will receive will be rewards that we will receive when we're in heaven for how we're going to be in heaven. It's not to condemn you, okay? It's not to say, okay, well, you didn't quite do so well. You didn't measure up. I got to send you to hell. God doesn't send anybody to hell, okay? I'm going to tell you that right now. If anybody's going to hell, it's not because God's sending them. It's because of a choice that we have made personally, okay? God is going to reward us for the deeds that are done down here according to all these scriptures. So as Christians, we're going to be rewarded for those deeds. The deeds, okay? No condemnation, praise God, but the rewards are going to vary as God will be looking at, the scripture said what? Both the good and the not so good things that we've done. So he is going to take into account the things that we've not done too well, okay? Praise God, it's not going to be towards condemnation, though. But there will also be a judgment seat for the non-Christian. Uh-oh. So we've been talking about Christians. We've been talking about our destination being heaven. When we die, we're going to stand before his judgment seat, and we will be rewarded according to the good and the not-so-good things we've done and be rewarded accordingly. But we still run the race, and we're still there. There's another judgment, okay, for those who are non-Christians, okay? This judgment, unfortunately, will be one of condemnation for having rejected Christ in this life. And this judgment leads to what the Bible calls the lake of fire. Revelation 20, 11 to 15. It's called the great white throne judgment. Then I saw a great white throne. It's a pure throne, right? It's God. And him who sat upon it, from whose presence earth and heaven fled away. Do you get that? Earth and heaven flee away because God encompasses all the earth and all the heavens. He's all in all. And he's overwhelmingly sovereign and powerful. And we have to understand this. So as we live this life, whether you're a Christian or not a Christian, we have to understand that there's an all-encompassing, all-powerful, omniscient, omnipotent, and omnipresent God, that even the heavens and the earth will flee at the mention of his name. So important that we live our lives for him, that we're not our own. We realize that he created us. We're his. Sons and daughters of the Most High. We're not our own. We've been bought with a price. All the scriptures come flooding in that tells us we're not it. And this kingdom is not our kingdom. It's his kingdom. And we're going to stand before him as Christians, yes, to be rewarded. But if you're not a Christian, you're going to be going into the presence of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and there was no place found for them. He's not going to reward them with anything that's going to be in heaven. And I saw the dead, the great and the small, standing before the throne, And there's books. God's recording everything. The books were opened and another book was opened, which is the book of life, your life. And the dead were judged from the things which were written in those books according to what? Their deeds. So the ones that are not Christians are also going to have their deeds judged. Unfortunately, the blood of Christ isn't covering them because they rejected him. So God can't say, you're forgiven, come and enter your rewards in heaven. There's another destination. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and the death and Hades gave up the dead which were in them. And they were judged, and every one of them according to their deeds. And then death and Hades were thrown into the lake of fire. This is the second death, the lake of fire. Folks, that's not reserved for Christians. That's reserved for those who have rejected Jesus Christ. So God doesn't send you there, does he? You reject him? That's the destination. Heaven for believers, hell for unbelievers. Now some will say, well, is it a literal lake of fire? Who gives a rip? There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. There will be an eternal separation from God in all of eternity. That's hell to me, to be separated from a loving God where there's going to be the lion laying down with the lamb and eternal rewards that are beyond your imagination compared to weeping and gnashing of teeth. So whether you believe in a lake of fire or not, that's theology. Who cares? Just know that if you do not accept Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, your destination is hell. If you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, then we will be rewarded when we face him in heaven according to what we have done here on earth. It's very clear. So you see, folks, death, when we die, that's what it's about today, leads to a destination. And people choose it themselves. We all have been made for eternity. You are an eternal being, even right now. You are going to live eternally. When you take your last breath here, you are going to take your next breath in front of that seat. You don't just disappear. For the Christian, one split second after we die, we are with the Lord forever. That's exactly what I said. Hallelujah. And it's written right here. Look, hallelujah. Because when I read it and I, you know, studied it and I put it down, I said the same thing. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. You know, one second, I may struggle. I have to get my last gasp of air. And then all of a sudden, woo, Jesus. Everything I hoped for, everything I put my life into is now in front of me. And I don't even care. I don't care if you just give me a little whatever, a blue ribbon. I'm with you forever. That's enough. That's enough. 2 Corinthians 5:8. We are of good courage, I say, and prefer rather to be absent from the body. So when you're absent from the body, and to be at home with the Lord. At home with the Lord. Philippians 1:23. But I am hard-pressed from both directions, says Paul, having the desire to depart and to be with Christ, for that is very much better. This means that when our body, now follow me here, because a lot of people have questions on this, okay? And yes, this is what the Lord, through the Holy Spirit, is interpreting these scriptures for me, and maybe yours is a little bit different, doesn't matter, we're all going to end up in the same place. Our timing may be different based on your theology, but this is what the scripture says to me, as we read 2 Corinthians there in Philippians, that when our body goes into the ground, or back to the dust, right, our soul goes to heaven. We're no longer in the body anymore. But our soul goes to heaven. Our resurrection bodies come later. I'm going to tell you why. It's easy to understand if you think about the spiritual dimension that already exists around us. Beings functioning in this realm have no bodies. In the second heavens, they do not have bodies. God himself in the Bible is called God the Father, a spirit. Right? And he does quite well in the unseen realm. God functions in the unseen realm. Demonic beings function in the unseen realm. Folks, when you die, you'll function well in the unseen realm. You don't need a body in the unseen realm. You'll need it when Christ comes to rule again, when he recreates the earth and the heavens, right? And we rule and reign with him on earth forever. That's when we need a resurrection glorified body, because we'll be here. But until that time, when he comes to refashion the earth and we rule and reign with him, when we immediately die, it says we're in the presence of the Lord. You're in the unseen realm. Your soul is there. Let's continue. It'll make sense as we go. You're in the spiritual dimension because you are a living spirit. This body is just here because of the earth. God knew you before the foundation of the world. How did he know you? Because you were already a spirit. Now, you weren't cognizant of it because he gave you that cognizance when he put you here on the earth and he breathed life into you. But you have to understand who you are. This is just a temporary tent. The Bible calls it a sark sack. It's flesh. It's made from the dirt of the earth, literally. And God's breath and creation ability. And it goes back to that. But you don't. You go right into the presence of God because you're a living spirit, a soul, a living being. And you'll do well. Since God can do well in the spiritual dimension, invisibly, so can you. All right. So, we are a spirit made in God's image that happens to be clothed with a body for the purpose of functioning here on earth. We're not going to need this body functioning as a spirit in heaven. Like I said, it'll be here for earth. But remember that we're going to rule and reign with Christ on a new earth. So we will need and receive this glorified body when the time comes for his return. As a spirit, we're going to be alive. We're going to be cognizant, but we're going to be in temporary form. At God's appointed time, there will be a reunion of your body and your spirit, and it's referred to as the resurrection in the Bible of the dead. The resurrection of the dead. Some of you will also see this, if we're still here when that happens, as the rapture. So there'll be those of us that are caught up into the air with Jesus, and there will be those that have already died that will at that point in time be resurrected in a glorified body. Until that time, for those that have gone on before us, as a living soul, we're with him, not needing a body, as the spirits we just said do not need a body, but we'll be alive and definitely cognizant. You are going to know, and you're going to know much more fully than you know now. So basically, folks, in the presence of the Lord, labors on earth are over. The body ceases to function, and your spirit that is knit together now totally saved, with a totally saved soul and mind. Remember, your soul right now, which is your mind, your will, and your emotions, that's being saved. When you ask Jesus Christ into your heart, your spirit is fully and 100% redeemed. You're sealed with the Holy Spirit. You are God's. But your stinking thinking still remains, some of it. So salvation means what? Healing and deliverance and the process of sanctification. Yeah, you got your ticket to heaven. Yeah, your spirit's fully saved. But your soul needs to be what? Washed. It needs to be renewed. That's what the Bible talks about, regeneration. It talks about this process of being transformed. You're not fully saved yet because we're still here. Your spirit is, but your soul is being saved. When you die and take your last breath, your spirit and soul will become one. Instead of knowing in part, we're now going to know in full. God's taken over. You're in his presence forever. And you are in a spirit form, unless, of course, you're at the rapture. And then you'll have that new glorified body because we're going to need it to come back here on earth and rule and reign with Christ. Do we get that? So we're not in some soul sleep. We're not in some place of not knowing or anything like that. We are always alive forevermore. We're in an eternal state as we are right now. Okay, so don't let the 3D body from the dirt thing throw you. You're more than that. If you were to back up, if you could like this and just look like this and didn't see your body, you'd never know if you had one or not. Right? If you didn't have a mirror, you'd never know. If you didn't have your eyes and you were blind, you'd never know. You'd be just somebody talking out there. Alive and well and being and functioning and helping and doing and whatever, you're just not seeing. Can you see that? That wasn't a pun. So what I'm trying to say is, do not let what God clothed us with to function in this realm throw you, because you're not going to be in this realm forever. In that spiritual realm, you are a spirit and soul and wouldn't need this. God could make you look like a chair, right? But he already told us that we're going to get glorified bodies filled with his light, his eternal light. So instead of blood running through your veins, it'll be God's light, God's glory. And that will sustain you and keep you alive forever. Okay? So there will be that transition where you're going to get this new thing. But you're not going to need it until the resurrection of the dead. And then the scriptures begin to make sense for you. Okay? All right. So your spirit is now, when you die, totally knit together with your soul as one, and it's alive and well. Your soul basically is no longer a work in progress.
Yay.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I heard that. Hallelujah. 1 Corinthians 13:12. For now, right now, we see in a mirror dimly. But then, when we get to our destination, believers, face to face, now I know in part, but then I will know fully, just as I have also been fully known. See, God fully knows everything and he knows us, and we don't. But we will when we come into the presence of the one who made us. So, now you're in this fully known state. There is no such thing, I will say again, as soul sleep, extinction, or purgatory. Okay? Purgatory, once you die, nobody's going to pray you out and back up to heaven. You're fully responsible for everything you do here, whether you accept Jesus or you don't accept Jesus. Nobody else can accept Jesus for you.
That's right.
And pray you out. So this whole doctrine of purgatory or whatever and stuff like that, just don't put your trust in it. You'll be disappointed. Okay? And we're not in some soul sleep or extinction. We don't just cease to exist. To be absent from the body, says Paul, is to be present with the Lord. Just like the thief on the cross. The thief on the cross was next to Jesus. And he says, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And what did Jesus say to him while he was on the cross? Today.
Yes.
Not after your soul sleep. Not, you know, today you will be with me in paradise. So we know that when we die and we lose these bodies, in the spirit realm, we're alive.
Yes.
We're alive. All right? So, again, knowledge will be full in heaven. We will know our loved ones. That'll comfort some of you, at least those you know that accepted Jesus while they were here, right? We will be fully mature without age. Whatever that'll look like. I'm not going to try to understand that, but we'll be fully mature because he says we will be fully mature, we will know all, and we'll be without age. So I picture somebody like Adam. When God first created man and Adam was to live forever, whatever Adam might have looked like is what we'll look like, which would be, say, I'd say, hopefully it's in our prime. And certainly not like we are right now. Or some of you young studs will probably say, no, let's do it now, right now. And remember, folks, I did throw this in. There is no communication with loved ones who have preceded you to heaven. Not your dog, not your cat, not your aunt, or not your uncle, okay? They are beyond your reach. They are in the unseen realm and do not come back to haunt or communicate with you. Stop listening to Hollywood movie-making theology. Luke 16:19 to 31. Got to show you this because it's very important. Because some people think, well, my Aunt Susie or my mom came back and talked to me. No, she didn't. That was the enemy trying to do whatever he wants to do to you. But God said, that's not going to happen. You're not going back to warn anybody. You're not going back to say anything to anybody. There was a rich man and he habitually dressed in purple and fine linen. Where is Dina? Oh, man, can that get to you? Say amen. Purple and fine linen. And rich, joyously living in splendor every day. And a poor man named Lazarus was laid at his gate, covered with sores, and longing to be fed with the crumbs which were falling from this rich man's table. Wow, what an indictment. Besides, even the dogs were coming and licking his sores. That's pretty pathetic. Now the poor man died and was carried away by the angels to Abraham's bosom. And the rich man also died and was buried. In Hades, well, I guess we know where they're going, right? He lifted up his eyes, being in torment, and saw Abraham far away and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried out and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus so that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool off my tongue. This is a real deal, okay? For I am in agony in this flame. So if you didn't think there were real flames, well, maybe we might change our mind here. But Abraham said, child, remember that during your life you received your good things. And likewise, Lazarus, bad things. But now he's being comforted here. And you are in agony. And besides all this, between us and you, there's this great chasm that's fixed. God did it. So that those who wish to come over from here to you will not be able, and that none may cross over from there to us. And he said, then I beg you, Father, that you send him to my father's house. In other words, send somebody from the afterlife and then send him down to my house. Don't let it happen to them, right? For I've got five brothers in order that they may warn them so that they will not also come to this place of torment. Please have a loved one come back in a vision, dream, whatever, and warn them. But Abraham said, oh, they have Moses and the prophets. In other words, here it is. You got the word of God, folks. Let him hear them. But he said, no, Father Abraham, but if someone that's died comes back, oh, now they'll believe, right? It goes to them from the dead. They'll repent. They see an apparition or they see a loved one now. They know they'll repent. Mm-mm. But he said to him, if they do not listen to Moses and the prophet, in other words, you didn't believe the word of God, they're not going to be persuaded, even if somebody rises from the dead. So the answer is that you are not going to get a message from your loved one if they have died and moved on to heaven. So stop playing with the occult, because you might hear from them in the occult, because the devil will mimic, and like he always does, whatever is going on in heaven. And so what may look like your mama or your papa, and a message that may look like it's coming from mama and papa, could be coming from the devil himself. Because God clearly says that's not going to happen for you. All right? So we're separating here, and we're understanding where we're going. We're going to heaven, right? That's our destination. We're going to stand for our reward. But for those who do not know Jesus Christ, they are going to hell, whether in flames or not flames. Again, your judgment there, but it's eternal separation from God. And once this all occurs, there is no communication till we all make it to heaven. What's that song? When we're all in heaven. Where you're going to be fully known, and you're going to fully know. And you're going to recognize your loved ones like it says in here, because you're going to be fully cognizant and fully aware. And that's glorious, because I know a lot of people who I'm going to run to see because of the faith and the hope that I have and because of what the Word of God says to me. So as you can see from the biblical example, in this case from the perspective of an unsaved individual, the dead are conscious. They know who they are. And they know of friends and family. And they know where they are and why they're there. And so will we. That's awesome. But again, they're not allowed to communicate with us. Folks, the only spirits that you're going to ever entertain here are either angels that are sent by God to minister to you, because that's what their job is, or fallen angels that you invite in by your agreement with their evil nature. The only spirits you're going to entertain are God's angels sent to minister to you, or Satan's evil spirits that are engaging you and trying to entice you in to sin. That's it in regards to that. So what's the point here today? Basically, to make sure that you're saved and know where you're going. It is quite simple. To be absent from the bodies, to be present with the Lord. And then once Jesus comes back, the resurrection of the dead, you will have a new glorified body that joins your spirit and soul, and we will rule and reign with Christ forever. That's the message for the Christian. If you're not a Christian, the message is run up to this altar right now, get on your knees, and give your life to Christ. Because the last thing you're ever going to want to do is face that eternal judgment that sends you to hell in flames of fire and agony that is weeping and gnashing of teeth. I wish that on no one, not even your worst enemy, because that's not a place that anyone would ever desire to be. Last scripture, 1 John 5, 12 and 13. He who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have the life. These things I've written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, Jesus Christ, so that you may know that you have what I've talked about today, this eternal life with the Father. Wow. So the question becomes, right? It's written that you might know. It's not a hope so. It's not I think so. It's not a no so. It's because the Word of God says so, okay?
That's right.
I'll say it again. It's not a hope so. It's not a I think so. It's a no so because God's Word says so. Receive Jesus and your eternal destination of heaven is guaranteed. Jesus stands at the door of your heart and invites you to let him in. If you have not done that, then I just ask you to come to the altar and get on your knees and someone will come up and pray with you. And for those who have already done so, which I believe is the majority of those that are here today, may this message remind you of the hope that you have, a hope that is real, a hope that is glorious, and one that's coming. As we close in worship, here it is. If you're saved, feel free to dance. I'm going to say it again. We're going to close in worship. If you're saved and you've said this message makes you feel like dancing, well, you know what? Just go ahead and dance, all right? You don't have to, but you can. But for those who want to be sure of your salvation, maybe you're like Teresa when she's in the ER would say, are you absolutely sure you know where you're going? Well, if you're absolutely sure that you don't know, or you have doubts, well, I think I'm going to heaven, I'm going to ask the prayer warriors that are due today to get on each corner of those altars to go up there right now. And if you're not sure that you know where you're going, then you need to come up and pray with those in the corners there and then leave this place dancing with the rest of us who will be able to do that right now as this song is played. Thank you, Jesus.